You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Being clean and green isn't always easy. It's not like we can flick a switch and become sustainable just like that. But we can start to make simple changes to our everyday lives to ultimately help the environment as best we can. The future of our planet can't fall on our shoulders alone. We need large corporate companies to pull their weight and be a leader in change. The private sector itself has invested in unsustainable energy like fossil fuels. But who's funding this continued investment? Unfortunately, it could be us, and we don't even realise. I spoke with Siri Anderson, one of the co-directors of 350 Aotearoa, on which of our banks support the fossil fuel industry, what we can do as individuals to help the environment, and ultimately if there is still hope. I began by asking Siri which of our big banks were fueling the fossil fuel industry, and if we should consider leaving them behind and switching our funds to a cleaner, greener option.
We passed the piece.
It's a great question, and our banks play... It's a really important question because I don't know how many... I'm not sure how many New Zealanders really know what their bank is up to in terms of their contribution to the climate crisis. Not all banks are equal when it comes to funding fossil fuel and kind of investing in fossil fuels in Aotearoa. We've got our big four Aussie-owned banks, so that's ANZ, ASB, BNZ and Westpac. All of those banks are still currently lending to fossil fuel projects, and they're lending as well to projects that are exploration and expansionary projects. So we know that to keep global warming to below 1.5 degrees, we can't afford to keep digging up fossil fuels. Yet these banks are loaning billions of dollars, not millions, billions of dollars to fossil fuel companies that are making these projects go ahead, that are propping up these companies. Now, I mentioned that not all of these companies are equal, and I think it's important to note that our Kiwi-owned banks, banks like Kiwi Bank, TSB and Cooperative, they don't currently have money in fossil fuels, as far as we're aware. Kiwi Bank is actually the only of those banks that has explicitly ruled out investing in and lending to fossil fuel companies. So we have... for the first time in a really long time, we have a really clear choice as to a fossil fuel bank in Aotearoa. And I mean, it's not my job. It's not up to me to sit here and tell your listeners who they should or shouldn't be banking with. I think that's a choice that we all need to make as individuals. But really love to emphasise the fact that as consumers and as customers, banks have a responsibility to listen to us and to listen to the issues and things that are important to us. So yeah, it's a choice that each of us can go away and make, but know that your voice, even as an individual, has a really strong impact on what our banks do. And I think that Kiwi Bank's decision this year to explicitly rule out lending to and investing in fossil fuels, we ran a campaign calling on Kiwi Bank to do that for a number of years, and I think it's really important to note that has an impact, and that banks listen. They listen to their customers and they listen to what they want. So,
more often than not, these big corporate companies do take a while. They're quite slow moving at getting things done, and individuals seem to be a little bit quicker. So what are some cost-effective ways that everyday Kiwis can help protect our environment?
Great question. As individuals, I think we are all able to take climate action. We're all able to do our bit for the environment and for the climate and for our future. I think that when we talk about climate action, it's really important to keep in mind the scale of the problem that we're facing. So there's quite a famous stat that it's actually 100 companies that are responsible for over 70% of overall carbon emissions. So even if I, as an individual, you know, make those choices to turn out the lights, to buy an electric car, to eat vegan, whatever those choices I make, and they are really important, but I alone making those choices, I'm not going to have a big impact on the climate crisis. I think that for anyone who is keen to get involved in reducing carbon emissions and really solving the climate crisis, we need to be able to come together and take on our big institutions, the corporations, our banks, even our governments, because if we can get that kind of policy change, if we can get that practice changed, if we can get those systems and structures changed, we can have a really big impact on the climate crisis. So I'd encourage your listeners to jump online and find a climate action group that is taking on the big players and add your voice to that, put your power behind that, because that's where I think you get most bang for your buck as a as an individual, when you're contributing to collective action and working to let those big institutions know that they need to do their part.
When do you think we'll start to see more eco-friendly options such as electric cars or organic vegetables become more affordable? Because sometimes they are at a premium. Is it a supply and demand issue, or is it infrastructure? Is it just not there yet?
Supply and demand is really interesting. It's an interesting way to look at those issues. I think people are really conscious about making the best choices. In terms of seeing these sorts of changes, I think that we are living in a time when there is more demand than ever for eco-friendly choices. But I think it's also the responsibility of the private sector to ensure that they're making these products as accessible as possible. Obviously, we live in a capitalist society, and there's got to be some sort of balance between supply and demand. But I think that we all have a responsibility to be doing everything that we can to tackle the climate crisis. And I really believe that the private sector has perhaps even a bigger responsibility than most. So making sure that these things are as accessible as possible is really important, because absolutely organic fruit and veg can be really expensive. Electric cars are unaffordable for a lot of people, which is not to say that people don't want to be using those options, just out of their range. So yeah, probably not an answer to your question about which it is, but would love to emphasize the fact that I believe that the private sector has a really important responsibility in this area.
Are you hopeful that the current, well, the new government that's still being worked out, are they doing enough for climate change in Aotearoa, do you think?
That's a really great question. I mean, you have to be hopeful. I think working in the climate space, there's no room for pessimism. We need to stay optimistic and remain hopeful. We have seen, I think, in the previous term of the government, some really great initiatives that have come out, some really great policy change that really does, makes me feel hopeful about the future and about the future of climate action in Aotearoa. I think there's always room to do more. I think there's always a need to ensure that we are stepping up as leaders and are kind of leading the world in terms of climate action. There's some things that we would love to see from this government in the first 100 days of their new term, for example. Some really easy things that they can do, things like decarbonising our state sector and getting coal boilers out of our schools and hospitals and our prisons. Things that are really tangible, things that are going to have impacts on our overall carbon emissions. We'd really love to see from the government. We're really hopeful that they will continue to engage with groups like us to ensure that our policies and practices are as strong as they can be, because we don't have time. We don't have time to lose when it comes to the climate crisis now.
That was one of the co-directors of 350 Aotearoa, Siri Anderson, there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.